What's happening, Ron Church? Good to see you. I don't know if all the campuses experienced a little bit of quietness when the video came out. I thought I was going to have to start singing or something to come out here and break the mood, but glad we got it working. Good to be with everybody. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on the leadership team, and I want to welcome everybody to the Rock Church. This is the day the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. If you didn't know it, we are one church. Everybody say one church. We're one church, but we are across many locations. We have 5 locations in San Diego and 1 in Oahu. So we want to say hello to all of our locations. Would you greet your church family? Come on, just clap your hands. Say hello to one another. A couple things I just want to do quickly before we get in the message. One, we did it at all of our campuses, just acknowledging all of our graduates, all of those that got promoted, all those that went from this to that grade. Come on, let's encourage them again. It's a big deal. Way to go. Praying for your next season. With thinking about young people going in the next steps, today is the last day to register for Future SD. That's our youth camp. And so how many went to youth camp as a child? Maybe as a student, high school, you went to summer camp, Christian camp. Man, send your kids to camp. If you got any issues, get them to camp and then let the Lord work it out and bring them back brand new. Camp will change somebody. It's amazing what can happen in 5 days. On day 2, everyone's got a boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm just kidding, parents. It's amazing, though, what can happen in such a short period of time in Jesus' name, the right way. Come on. Send your kids to camp. Future SD. And then lastly, just a kind of a cool mention. If you didn't know, we have a school here from preschool all the way up to 12th grade. And a couple weeks ago, our men's varsity baseball team won the Division 5 CIF baseball championship. Can we just celebrate that? That's pretty awesome. That is amazing. Amazing. So shout out to the Rock Academy and parents. Great place to send your kids to school. Today, we are continuing in our series entitled, We Need to Talk. Everybody say, we need to talk. We do. We've been talking for several weeks on different subjects, and here's how we arrive here. If you're maybe here for the first time, for the last several years, we've been surveying our church around Easter because we get the greatest amount of participation, and most of you are here around Easter, so we want to know, hey, how long you been here? How long have you been attending your campus, and what's your age? So we know kind of who we're hitting, who we're speaking to. You know, from God's word, we don't want to just kind of just speak on things that we think you'd like to hear, but what God wants us to be receiving. But also, what are some of the felt needs that you have? And you told us anxiety and depression. Again, we need to unpack that. We spent 2 weeks on it. Relationships are, how do we navigate friendships and dating and singleness and marriage? Last week was the first week. I'm going to do one more week on that today. Come back next week for Father's Day because it's grads and dad season. So shout out to the dads. We have an incredible weekend in store. We got some giveaways. We got some competition. A great word for you. Really excited about that. And then we'll pick back up with 2 weeks on identity and then kind of wind up with a talk about understanding the Bible for all it's worth. And you said, hey, I'd like to know more about the Bible specifically and maybe even in the future a book series through a book of the Bible like Romans or Philippians. And so does that sound good if we do that in the future? Would you guys like that? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah. I think that'd be great. And so I'm going to talk about today, second week on relationships, specifically communication, and even more specifically, the type of communication that restores relationships. The type of because we got plenty of communication that breaks relationships. I want to talk about the kind that restores it today. So would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. As a matter of fact, I don't want to forget, Lord, just to acknowledge, today is Pentecost Sunday. On the Christian calendar, this is the day over 2,000 years ago that began the New Testament church. And you had your disciples waiting in the upper room, and you said, don't go anywhere until the gift that's coming from our Father arrives. And you said that John baptized with water, but soon you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the room was filled with power from on high. And so we ask for that same power today to fill this room and everywhere that our campuses are joined together. So Holy Spirit, speak through me and make us more like your son Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love dads in grad season, not just because I'm a dad. That's incredible. What a joy that is. But I love the grad season as well. My wife Vanessa has been teaching elementary school, first, second, and third for the last 17 years, and kind of right out of college and got her master's and just started working and been doing that faithfully for many years. And so during the holidays and the end of the year, she always gets hooked up as a teacher. Like she'll get flowers and Nothing Bundt cakes. Like we're like part-time members of Nothing Bundt Cake. We get so many of those things, and it's amazing. She'll get little gifts and sometimes little bags and gift cards. Come on, man, we get gift cards at Target. You see out there shopping, we'll have the teacher's gifts. And then she'll get candy. She'll get candy, and I like the sour candy. It's not good for your teeth because my dentist is here at the church. So, sorry about that, Alona, but I don't eat all of it. But then this time we got chocolate, and more specifically, she got a box of See's candy. Anybody like the See's candy? You guys like See's chocolate? Right? It's kind of a mix for me too. You know what I mean? I heard a lot of woos, but I heard some confusion. I get it, because what did Forrest Gump say? Life is like a box of what? You never know what you're gonna get. And I feel the same way about See's candy. It is confusing to me. And I'm excited because I want to go in. And so I opened the box, and you can already see I've kind of tore it up a little bit, because I really only like Snickers chocolate. But these all look the same. But 27 different flavors of chocolate. And the only way that you can decipher the difference is by looking at the ridges. And so I'm studying the ridges the other day. I'm looking at the ridges. And I'm like, okay, that one has raspberry. I don't want that one. This one smells like mint. I don't know what that is. I'm looking for this. So I ended up taking like 17, one bite from like 70 different pieces trying to find the Snickers, which I never found. I just gave up. But I brought it with me to show you today. And I was excited. I thought, man, this is gonna be great. Give me some chocolate. And then it was so messy and so confusing, I gave up. And I feel like sometimes our relationships can be that way. It's messy. And I'm so excited about this new dating relationship. I'm excited about this new friend. I'm just excited because we just married or celebrating an anniversary. But oftentimes we get lost in the translation of a communication, and poor communication messes things up, and it can just be overwhelming and confusing. And then sometimes we just go, you know what, I'm gonna give up. I got lost in the he said, she said, and I didn't mean to. We end up saying things that you didn't mean to say, and say stuff like, I thought I told you for the third time, and then the heart's off and the tone's off, and then heaven forbid, some of these end up and we're no longer gonna be friends. We're no longer gonna be together. We're no longer gonna stay married. Why? Because the tension of being lost and the translation of the communication. I think outside of the church, more and more, the culture doesn't value good communication. But you know what they value? Talking. There's a lot of people talking right now. A lot of voices out there, not enough examples. A lot of voice, a lot of podcasts. For every bad relationship, there's 17 podcasts on how to make it right. A lot of podcasts, a lot of blogs, a lot of commentary, a lot of people talking, but not a lot of people talking to one another. Because the moment I start talking to somebody that disagrees with me, I go, unfriend, block, unfollow, get out of here. It's like, I don't want to deal with you anymore. We just stop talking. But here's what I know, I wrote this down. The foundation of any good relationship is what? Communication. The foundation for any good relationship is good communication. And I have people come up to me all the time and at the end of service, and Pastor, I just, help me, I just don't feel like I've been hearing from God. And I go, hey, that book you're holding, when's the last time you opened that thing? It's been a minute. I wonder why there's no communication. It makes sense to me that you wouldn't be able to feel closeness in a relationship to someone that you're not talking to. And so if you want a strong relationship, you've got to have strong communication. You can't separate, watch this, you can't separate relationships from communication, but you can separate relationships with poor communication. You can absolutely divide them and split them and fracture them. So if you want good relationships, you need good communication. If you have fractured communication, you will get fractured relationships. Don't raise your hand. If you want to, you can, but I wonder how many people today have at least one fractured relationship in their life. I'm raising for me. I can think of one right off the bat. Super convicted. I wonder how many of us have at least, no one's batting 1,000 in this subject. No one has got all of this figured out, but I know that the first step, if I wanted to restore that relationship, and I will, is to begin with good communication. The first step in that healing process is good communication. To go from fractured to strong, to go from hurting to healed, is to have the right type of communication. But here's what I know. The enemy to that restoring communication is you and I desire to be what? To be right. That's the enemy. That's the enemy to the restoring that relationship, is your desire to go, I'm right. Trust me, I know, I'm right. It's that desire to go, wait, I'll apologize when they apologize. They're usually the one that's wrong. I'm usually the one that's right, and I kind of lead the thing. And trust me, it's no. I'm your desire to be made right or to be known, make it known that you're right, is the enemy of restoring that relationship. I'll apologize if they apologize. I don't want to see, even got the head snap going. Like I just want to be right. Here's my sermon in a sentence. I think these are helpful sometimes for you. Write this down. If you like taking notes, this is a good one. When my intention is to restore and not to be right, all of my fractured relationships have the potential to be made strong. I think that's good. When my intention goes from I don't want to be right to now I want to restore, then there's a shift in the possibility of making that relationship work out again. When my intention is restoring and repairing, forgiving, not being right, then all of my fractured, hurting, maybe broken relationships, maybe the one that you think has no chance, no, even that one has a chance to be made strong, from fractured to strong, from hurting to healed. In fact, if you think about our whole thing that we've come to gather around, the name of Jesus as Christians, and maybe you're not a believer yet, my hope is that by the end of our time, you'll make that decision. But the reason why we've gathered today, the reason why the church started was because Jesus in his love for you and I, even though we were dead to sin and 100% wrong, and Jesus was 100% right, he still came down from heaven to restore us back to who? The Heavenly Father. Jesus is in the restoring business. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, underline it, the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know there's a ministry called reconciliation? And it's been given to you. Not just for you, but to you and through you for others. The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Because we got a whole bunch of people that, let me get the list out of what she's done wrong to me. Hey, Pastor, if you just knew the things, if you just knew the list of ways that he has wronged me, there's no way you would ask me to go back and repair that relationship. I'm not asking you, but Jesus is. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is in the restoration business. And if you call yourself a Christian, and I know many of us do at our locations, there are no exceptions. You have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. You've been reconciled to the Father, and then Jesus says, now go ahead, boo-boo, and let's do it together. Reconcile those relationships. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus can restore us with the people we love, with the people that we hate, even with the people who voted differently than you, even with the person that looks different than you, the person that talks different than you, that dresses differently than you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus can reconcile even those. So when my intention is to restore and not to be right, all of my fractured relationships have the potential to be made strong. What's the first step? Restore my communication. If you got your Bible with you, go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're in the Old Testament, go to the New Testament. That's the second half of the Bible. Make a habit of having a Bible with you. I say it a lot, but I just, it's good to be able to follow along. We'll have it on the screen for you, but it's good to maybe track it in your Bible or highlight it on your phone. Get your phone out on the Bible app. Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 34 to 37. And Jesus is speaking to a group of religious people, people that would hang around the temple and talk a lot of God talk and thought they knew all the right rules and regulations, but he's jamming them up because of the way they speak, the way they talk, the way they communicate. And here's what he says to them in chapter 12, verse 34. It says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Would you just pause right there? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, what comes out is just evidence of what's already inside. Woo! So what's been coming out? Think about what's been coming out this week. Has it been a bunch of hate? Did you just got hate inside? You got a bunch of anger? There's anger inside. You got bitterness, frustration. I just wonder what kind of frustration and bitterness do you have inside? Jealousy's coming out. Criticism's coming out because you've got criticism inside here. And so Jesus says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man or woe man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone, who? I thought it was just San Marcos. I thought it was maybe just those in Oahu. I thought maybe it was just the fellas in the house. This is an equal opportunity verse right here, very offensive. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. These are some stern words from Jesus. Some stern words to everybody about the power of your words and how we communicate being important. And I love Proverbs 18. It makes it real clear. Here's what the Proverbs says in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Woo. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. All the talkers got real quiet. Saying nothing. I love this translation in the NLT. It says the tongue can bring death or the tongue can bring life, and those who love the just blah, 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 blah will reap the consequences. We got to be careful because what you speak can bring death or what you speak can bring life. You can build somebody up or you can tear somebody down. You can make someone feel like the greatest hero or you can make someone feel like the most horrible person. You go, well, Pastor, that's not my... Listen, I've been saved a long time. That's not my issue, Pastor. I'm a good communicator. I talk good. Listen, I'm a good communicator, and sometimes I don't communicate well. I have to be careful. We have to be careful. Am I speaking life or am I speaking death? And I was speaking with someone after service, and they were talking to Pastor. You don't even know how good that part about speaking life or death, because sometimes when I talk to my husband, I would think he should just know what I'm saying. He should just know what I said. And she gave Teresa, I'm sorry, God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday. She gave me an example walking by the flowers one day. And her husband said, "Oh, I like those flowers." And in her mind, she thought, he's gonna buy me flowers. He was supposed to get it. They went home, the flowers didn't. A little tension right there. How come he should have just known. Guys do the same thing. I love this quote by George Bernard Shaw. Take a look at this. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it's taken place. Uh-oh. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion. I thought I said it right. I thought I told you three times. I thought you were supposed to know just because we've been together for a minute. By this point, shouldn't you... Well, this is an illusion. I thought we were speaking the same language. Just because you say something doesn't mean they heard it, believed it, or felt it. You got to make sure I'm saying how you say it and what you say matters. Am I speaking death? Are we speaking life? Here's the first point. If you're taking notes, I want to make it real practical for you because I want to give you a communication that restores requires five things, these five things. And because we all struggle to be right, I started it with the word right. So number one, communication that restores requires, number one, the right tone. The right tone. It's the right to speak in a way that it can be received. That's the right tone. And here's what Colossians 4:6 says. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Full of grace. Has your conversation full of grace? Seasoned with salt. It means it has flavor. In the scripture, salt was used for preservation. It added flavor, added life. Seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. We shop at Trader Joe's quite a bit. And anybody like Trader Joe's? You shop at Trader Joe's? Yeah, they got a lot of good stuff. I don't think everything is great. There's nothing, no shade on Trader Joe's. I like a lot of things they have. The one thing that I would prefer to get somewhere else is tortilla chips, okay? Tortilla chips. I want to go to Carnival. I want to go to Northgate. I want to go somewhere else to get tortilla chips. I'll even go Vons for some chips. But Trader Joe's chips. So one day, my wife brought home these tortilla chips that were imposter tortilla chips. Yeah, they look like tortilla chips, and they even had a little. They smelled like tortilla chips. And my daughter, this is a couple years ago, and my daughter's there, and she got in the chips first, and she started eating them, and went, yeah, and she couldn't get it down. And she couldn't, she was choking on the tortilla chip. I said, what's wrong? She's like, that's not a tortilla chip. And we found out they had no salt. Right? What are we eating? Why are we eating? What for? It's like a wafer. It's flavorless. There's no anointing in this tortilla chip. No power. I tried it. Like, oh my, we're not going to be getting those again. What was she saying? She was saying, I know what tortilla chips are supposed to taste like, and that's not it. Now watch this. There's somebody in a relationship today, and you desperately want to tell your spouse, I know what an apology is supposed to sound like, and that wasn't it. The way you try to tell me that wasn't it. That wasn't seasoned with salt. That didn't have the flavor of grace. There wasn't a tone of gentleness. You said sorry, and there's an illusion that it took place, but it didn't take place because you said, fine, sorry. Yeah. Easy, bro. Or sarcastically, okay, sorry, this is sensitive. You better go hide. Or is it full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone? You know what? That was my fault. I own that. I'm sorry. I want to get better. Full of grace, seasoned with salt. When my intention is to restore and not to be right, even that relationship can be made strong. There's a relationship in your life that's depending on your tone. Here's the second thing. Communication that restores requires the right tone, and number two, the right time. The right time. This is the right to process without hurry. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James says, don't be quick to talk. The only thing I'm doing quickly is listening. I'm slow to talk. The only thing I'm doing quickly is listening. Because if I'm listening more, I'm speaking less, and I'm giving myself and the other person time to process, to hear from God, to hear him download what the truth is. And sometimes a five-minute conversation isn't enough time. A five-minute anybody like to fix problems like me? So let's just bang this thing out. Let's fix it. Right? Where's all the people that like to fix it right away? Okay, good. My people, hi. God bless you. Where's all the processors? Okay. Look, you didn't even raise your hand. You're just like, I want to process that. I don't know if I want to do it. It's very quick. Raise my hand right now. I want to process. Here's what I realize. Just like people have different love languages, people have different ways of processing conversations. It takes time. When Vanessa and I were dating, and so one night she was at work and just wrapping up late, and I was downtown in my car, and we're on the phone, and I'm exhausted, and it's already getting later and later and later. And now she's heading home, and we're trying to fix this issue. We're getting delirious. An hour and a half in, 2 hours in, and now she's home, and I'm home, and we're just trying to stay awake, just trying to fix this problem. And it's the worst time to fix problems is midnight. Because now we're no longer talking about the issue. Now it's, are you asleep? Did you just fall asleep? Now we're mad about who's falling asleep. We've jumped three issues because we picked the wrong time to process. Or am I just talking about me in my life? I picked the wrong time. We need time to process and come back when we are both in our right mind. And hopefully when you go away and they go away, you hear from the Lord and you come back and go, you know what? I heard from the Lord and he told me this is on me. Because I took time to process and I gave you time to process. Or maybe you come back thinking, I'm gonna own this, I'm gonna apologize, I'm gonna be humble. And on your way back, she goes, you know what? That was my fault. Oh. Well, I forgive you. It's time to process. Come back, instead of assuming the worst, I'm now assuming the best about them, and I've heard from God, because my intention is to restore, not to be right. Here's the third thing. Number three, communication that restores requires the right trust. The right trust. It's the right to be safe when you're vulnerable. Creating an environment that feels okay to talk and share. And this isn't just for men, but sometimes men struggle more with feeling like they can be honest and be vulnerable and share that I struggle too, that I cry too, I have pain, I'm afraid of failure too, I've messed up too, I need help also. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted with each other, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. When I was 20 years old, I worked in construction. I was going to school, going to seminary, and felt called to be a pastor. So I had every little job I can do just while I was going to school and serving the Lord. And so I worked in construction for a bit, and there was one foreman who was really hard on me as a young guy and kind of learning this new trade. And I have broken Spanish, and he had broken English, but he was in charge. And so I'm kind of navigating my way, and he was hard on me because I wouldn't laugh at their jokes. I didn't cuss like a sailor. I didn't look up at all the girls that were walking by, and one day, why are you some perfect guy? I'm like, no, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Oh, double down on the criticism coming this way. And so I remember wanting to avoid working with this foreman. I never want to work with this guy. It was so stressful. Never felt like I could be successful in this area. Why? Because there was no trust in that relationship. And I wonder what relationship that you have created an unsafe environment for anybody who to be willing to be vulnerable with you. Because there's anger and there's hate. You're the first part of Ephesians chapter 4. You got the bitterness. You have the rage. It's coming out. The harsh words are coming out. And it could be a spouse, but it could be a friend. It could be a coworker. And heaven forbid, it's your kid. It's your son. It's your daughter. It's your teenager. And they don't want to tell you the truth. They can't communicate with you. There's no relationship anymore. Why? Because you've created mistrust in the home, in the relationship. But if you decide that I'm not going to try to tell them why they're wrong and why I'm right, but I'm going to focus on restoring, I can make this right. I can be the second part of Ephesians 4. Instead, I'll be kind to them, and I'll be tender-hearted, and I will be forgiving, just as God through Christ has forgiven me. And so we need the right tone, we need the right time, we need the right trust. Number four, we need the right truth. This is the right to be honest when it hurts. And sometimes we don't give the truth, we don't want to hurt them, we don't embarrass them. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And so we have to hear the truth, but to do it in love so that we can become more like Jesus. I was telling my wife earlier, it was last night, I said, hey, I don't know if this is TMI, but let me say it this way. If you saw someone, I know we got the music going, but if we saw somebody and their zipper was down, would you tell them? And sometimes you're like, I don't want to embarrass them. And here they are. You know what I mean? Like, just no clue. And you're out here like, ugh. And what do you say? Someone else will tell them. Someone will be loving enough to tell them the truth. It doesn't help to not say the truth. It doesn't help to pretend like there isn't a problem. We have to say the truth, but we have to do it in love. There's a great saying that says, truth without love is mean. But love without truth is meaningless. But truth with love is medicine for the heart. I think I'm gonna just bomb them with the truth, bro. That's harsh. I'm just gonna, grace, no truth. Well, that's not helpful. But if I can give them truth, and I can do it in a way that's loving, that's like medicine for my soul, medicine that's healing for my heart. Here's the fifth thing, last thing, number five. Communication that restores requires the right tone, the right time, the right trust, the right truth, and number five, my last point, the right team. This is the right to work together towards a solution. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his or her own interest, but also to the interest of others. And so if you want fractured relationships or stay in broken marriage or messed up friendships, then just be about you. You can do that. You can always be right. You can always make them get your point. But if you want to restore things, then consider others over yourselves. Take the humble posture and say, I'm going to focus on restoring. I'm not going to focus on always trying to be right. Here's Ephesians, my last verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Now, three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want to show it to you before we pray. I'm going to bring out Ty and Nadej. This is Pastor Ty, our campus pastor here in Point Loma, his wife Nadej. You can clap for him if you like. Friends of ours, and Nadej, I'm going to have you stand right here, and they're married to each other, but they don't argue. They're incredible. They're not like you and I. They're perfect. Model Christians here. But let's just pretend there was an issue. But Ty has decided that he's right, and he may be right. And he doesn't want to help work towards restoration. This dude's got attitude already. Look at him. But Nadej is trying to restore. She even gives him a little tap on the shoulder, like, hey, babe. And he's like, no, not having it. One person trying to fix the relationship can be easily defeated, and eventually, because of the pressures of the world and all the stuff that's at stake and work and kids, and eventually the enemy starts speaking to you, you should just stop, give up. He's not going to try. He's already made up his mind. And the next thing you know, then she's over here. Things have been defeated. Now they're thinking about, well, maybe we just call it. But the scriptures say, but two can keep each other warm. They can actually work together. It's hard to turn this guy. He's stubborn, but we got him. The two can work together, and now I'm choosing not to be right, and God has softened your heart, and you're not wanting to be right. You want to be restored, and so now we're working together. You can defend each other. You can go back to back even, because the pressures of the world, the ridicule and criticisms of the enemy and the lies. And so when he's not doing well, no, I can speak life. And when she's not doing well, you can speak life. And when there's issues, we're both fighting to restore. But then it says, but a three braided cord isn't even broken. Three is even better. And so I invite Jesus into our conversation. And so I'm not just trying to restore things in my own will, my own power. I'm not trying to fight for this thing on our own, in our own flesh, because eventually someone's getting tired. But the minute I invite Jesus into our conversation, everything gets changed. Because even if I don't have the right tone, I don't have the right time, I don't have the right truth, I don't have the right trust, but in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. I got the right team. Jesus is now in my conversation. I can go through hell and back because Jesus is with us. Come on, somebody, let's thank the Lord. Clap your hands. Thank you, Nadej. I want to challenge everybody today at church to think about that one relationship that's fractured in your life. I want to challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you today towards restoration. It means you got to call him. You got to initiate. I don't want to be right, even though you might be. And choose restoration. You may need the right tone, because the last time you spoke, it was all off. You may need the right time, and so you reach out and they're not ready. Well, at least you reached out. Give them some time. You need the right truth. It's hard for me to say this, but this is how you've been making me feel. And I'm only telling this to you because I love you and I want us to get better. You may need the right trust, and you need to apologize. Listen, I was angry. And the reason why we haven't been connecting and intimate and close and hanging out is because I was angry and I was bitter and I pushed you away, and forgive me for that. I want to create a safer place for you. But if you can't get any of that right, at least ask for the right team. Invite Jesus into the conversation. And if you need him in your heart today, I want to give you that chance all across our campuses. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray together and ask Jesus to help us to restore all of the areas in our lives that are broken and fractured. And Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Matthew chapter 12. We thank you for Proverbs chapter 18. We thank you for Ephesians chapter 4. And Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday, we remember that over 2,000 years ago, you were a gift given by our Heavenly Father to fill us with power, to anoint us, to go be a witness and a testimony to the world that when Jesus comes into our conversation, everything changes. And so that's our prayer today, that you would do that, Lord. I'm praying for the person that needs to go and restore that friendship, that marriage. Give them the strength to do it. Give them the words to do it. Give them the right tone, all that they need, Lord. But there's one person that the relationship that needs healing is the one between you and them, because they've been living for themselves. They've been living in the world. And today they just know that you've been knocking on the door of their heart and you want to be their Lord and Savior. And so that's you. If you need to begin a relationship with Jesus, that's what needs to be restored today. I want you to repeat these words in the quiet of your heart and say, "Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've been doing it my way and it hasn't worked. I want to do it your way. I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you can forgive me. So I confess you as my Savior. I confess you as the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, fill me. Make me a new person. Give me a new heart. Give me new thoughts. Give me a new hope and a new future. I love you." As everybody's heads are bowed and your eyes are still closed, if you pray that prayer, any one of our locations on the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to shoot your hand up so I can see you, because I would love to know that you made that decision today, that you're making that statement of faith saying, "I want Jesus to lead my life. He's restoring all things in my life." If you made that decision on the count of three, would you lift your hand so we can see you? All of our locations, 1, 2, 3, put your hand up. Awesome.